Good morning, everyone, and a very happy new year to you all. May it be happy and healthy and peaceful for us all. Very importantly, like to welcome Peter, who is leading our worship this morning, and it's always a great pleasure to have him with us.
Thank you for your welcome and a happy new year to everybody. I was here this time last year, same Sunday, and so I had to find a new sermon. Serves me right. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Praise be to God. The light of the world has dawned in our hearts for our forgiveness. The light of the world has dawned in our community for our healing. The light of the world has dawned among the nations that justice may be done. Praise be to God. Amen. And we sing praise number 227. Brightest and best of the sons of the morning. Last day of Christmas and the day before Epiphany, and so this becomes Epiphany Sunday, and I had a choice of readings, and I've opted once again to use the readings involving the story of the wise men, the Magi. Now, instead of the Gloria or the Song of the Incarnation, decided we would sing a hymn, and we'll sing our second hymn. It's Hail to the Lord's Anointed. The set psalm for today is 72, and if you look at this, this hymn is based largely on Psalm 72. So I thought it would be an appropriate place to have it, and we'd use this instead of the Gloria. So it's 228, if you're using a hymn book. Hail to the Lord's Anointed.
Hail to the Lord's Anointed, great David's greatest son. Hail in the time appointed, his reign on earth begun. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression and rule in equity. He comes with succor speedy to those who suffer wrong, to help the poor and needy, and bid the weak be strong, to give them songs for sighing, their darkness turn to light, the souls condemned and dying are precious in his sight. He shall come down like showers upon the fruitful earth, love, joy, and hope like flowers spring in his path to birth. Before him on the mountains shall peace the herald go, and righteousness in fountains from hill to valley flow. Kings shall fall down before him, and gold and incense bring. All nations shall adore him, his praise all people sing. To him shall prayer unceasing and daily vows ascend, his kingdom still increasing, a kingdom without end. For every foe victorious, he on his throne shall rest. From age to age more glorious, all blessing and all blessed. The tide of time shall never his covenant remove. His name shall stand forever, the changeless name of love.
Here are our readings from the Old and New Testaments.
Good morning. This reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your hearts will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Thanks be to God.
And the hymn 224, "As with gladness, men of old."
As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold. Forever, may
So a year ago I preached on the gospel reading, and I thought I'd focus a little on the Old Testament reading this year. I once knew a minister. When I started my ministry, he was a supernumerary minister, as I am now. And he said to me, when I stay in a circuit, I stay 9 years, he said, because there are three readings a year. Three readings on a Sunday. Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel. So that's three sermons. That's 3 years' worth of sermons. And when I've got through the nine, it's time to go. Well, I'm not going to do that to you. But I thought I would look at the Isaiah reading a little bit today. There's a whole swathe of Western Europe which is newly built in relative terms. It stretches from the coast of Normandy through northern France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany. It's new because 75 years ago, barely a building remained standing. Villages and towns and great cities and ports lay in ruins as Allied troops pushed the Nazi armies back, house by house. And in Germany itself, there was a sense of despair as people struggled to live in the ruins of once beautiful towns, scrabbling for food, queuing for water. And it's exactly the situation being addressed in our passage from the book named after Isaiah. In the passage we heard today, the city is Jerusalem. And in chapter 60, the poet addresses the city with words of hope. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. A song of hope in the midst of despair. Before going any further, I better say something about the book of Isaiah itself and the historical background reflected in this passage, which depends on that. There are, broadly speaking, two understandings of the book of Isaiah. One is that it comprises in its entirety the prophecies of a single man, Isaiah, son of Amoz, a priest, who, following a vision in the temple, warned the people of Jerusalem that unless they changed their ways, their world would collapse, just as did the world of the northern kingdom of Israel, based in Samaria. And his prophecy came true, but not until more than a century later, at the time of Jeremiah, when Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed, and the cream of society taken away to Babylon. Now the other understanding, and I have to say this is the one I follow, but you may disagree, is that a second prophet arose in Babylon while they were there, a great poet who reinterpreted Isaiah's teaching for a new age, whose own teaching begins in chapter 40 of Isaiah. Comfort my people, says God. And then, after half a century or so in exile, the Persian king Cyrus conquered the Babylonians and offered the Jews, the Jewish people, the people of Jerusalem and Judah, the chance to return home and rebuild their home, their city, their temple. And much of the last part of Isaiah, perhaps from chapter 56 onwards, reflects that period, after the exile, after a fairly small number, I have to say, made it back to Jerusalem. Most stayed behind in their new home. poetry, and the book of Isaiah and many of the prophets is poetry, and you don't really understand it unless you understand that. It's poetry that reflects the poetry of both Isaiah of Jerusalem centuries earlier and the more recent prophet of Babylon. Now that's the view I'm taking in this sermon. It doesn't make any difference in sense to the real meaning of what is being said, but the setting is different, if you see what I mean. Now in time, in the view that I agree with, an editor put together these poems in a single book under the name of the one who inspired them all, Isaiah. And if you read it through, you'll find that there are one prophet quotes from another and from another, as it were. Now, you may have the view that one Isaiah wrote the whole book, and I respect that, and there are ministers in the circuit, I'm sure, who would agree with you and not with me. But given that background, it was an experience in Jerusalem after the exile not unlike that of the people of Europe in 1945. People came back with hope in their hearts and found only ruins and disappointment, and faced resistance from those who'd been left behind, and saw these new refugees, which is what they were, as an unwelcome challenge. Nevertheless, it began well. They did repair the city walls, and they began to lay the foundations of a new temple. But, a bit like the stuff that's going on in London at the moment, isn't it? The new railway. The money ran out. Enthusiasm for the project waned, and everything ground to a halt. And the faithful few who had returned found it difficult to keep faithful in the face of such disappointment. And somebody who had lived through those dreadful post-war years in Germany wrote that sorry times are kept sorry because of the sorry stuff men and women are obliged to make use of if they want to stay alive. And that might well have been said of those living in the ruins of Jerusalem 5.5 centuries before the birth of Jesus. But then new prophets came along to stir them up. There was Haggai, who said to them in effect, "Get building! That's what you're here for." And Zechariah, who said to them in effect, "Where's your faith? This is God's work. Trust God." And then, not least, there was the author of this passage. In the words of one scholar, in a time of great disillusionment, he revived the promise of salvation. The message was upbeat. However bad things look, it's always God's world. That's why you came back, isn't it? To be true to your faith, as it's our faith that marks us out as a distinct people. And things will get better, both in this life and in God's good time, which lies somewhere beyond. So arise, shine, your light has come. God's light is coming into this darkness. Don't be timid. God is going to renew your life and lift you from your suffering. Nations will look towards this light from their darkness. They'll flock to Jerusalem by sea from the Spanish port of Tarshish and across the desert to Aqaba, which is in Midian, in case you've ever wondered, bringing their treasures. Don't worry about fundraising. Foreigners will rebuild your walls, and their leaders pay you respect. They will acknowledge that this is a holy city. There'll be great trees from Lebanon for the work that will make the temple beautiful. So much treasure, your gates will be permanently open. You should be thrilled and not despondent. So, this reading is about the dream of a better life, however grim things appear to be. It's about stirring God's faithful people into action. And it rings true, whichever view one has of the book of Isaiah. But there's more. The prophet continues, "Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn." Jerusalem will be the centre of God's world, and those they left behind in Babylon and Egypt and elsewhere will return as well. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters will be carried on their nurses' arms. And I've no doubt that this passage was remembered by many in the years following the war, when Jews flocked to the new nation of Israel. And then comes the part that makes this essential reading for Epiphany. The wealth of the nations will come to you. A multitude of camels will cover you. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is where we find the references to camels and kings so strikingly absent from Matthew's account of the Magi. And so they came, not kings, but wise men, astrologers, probably, bearing their gifts, and they were perhaps inspired by this very passage, carrying their gold and frankincense, as they followed the star, but they made their way to Jerusalem, to the king of the time, Herod, and they asked him, "Where is the child who is born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at the rising, and have come to pay him homage." And Herod was worried about this, not being a Jew himself. Half Arab, half Idumean, from the southeast. So he asked his expert scholars and the high priests, or anybody else he could find, what they thought about this. And they said, in effect, and I have to thank the American scholar and preacher, Walter Brueggemann, for this insight, and it's something worth thinking about. That what they said, in effect, was, no, they've got the wrong prophecy. The one they mean isn't from Isaiah at all, but from Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. And of course, anybody reading that who knew the story of David would remember that King David came from Bethlehem. And we all know how it all ends up. The Magi go to Bethlehem. They find the child with Mary. They offer their gifts in the house. A house, not a stable, not by then. And they worship the child Jesus before returning another way, after a dream warns them not to return to Herod. And then later, Joseph is warned in another dream to get away and take his family to Egypt, just in time, as it turns out, until it's safe to return. So it's not to a palace in a great city that the star leads the Magi, not to an infant prince, but to a scruffy little town a few miles away, 7, 8, 9 miles away, depending on when you start your walk, and an unknown family. and a child who, tradition has it, was born where they kept the animals. And he is not to reign from an ivory tower, but as the child of refugees, nurtured in a workshop in the least respectable part of the country, and exercising a ministry amongst the least respectable of people. And the child, as a man, Jesus, begins that ministry by submitting to the baptism of John the Baptist. And when preaching in the synagogue in his native town of Nazareth, he chooses a text from the same prophet we've been listening to today. "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, for the Lord has appointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up hearts that are broken, to proclaim liberty to captives, and freedom to those in prison, to proclaim a year of favor from the Lord." And so the prophecy has come true, has come to be. "Arise, shine, for our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among us." Alleluia. We hear our prayers of intercession, which Jill is going to lead.
Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for our community and ask you to bless the outreach in your name carried out from KMC, our coffee mornings, Clothes for You, Cameo, Broadway Group, and other house groups. In the midst of our everyday lives, surprise us with glimpses of the glorious, humble love at the height of existence. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Searched for, Christ comes. To the wise and powerful, star-led to Bethlehem, seeking a king, he comes. Child of Mary, crowned with meekness, worthy of every gift. Loving God, we pray for the leaders of the world, especially at this time, remembering Iran and Iraq. And we ask that this period of world tension will pass with no further escalations and killing. Guide them with your light to the true wisdom of justice and peace, of freedom and respect for every human life. Lord, come to your people. In your mercy, set us free. Longed for, Christ comes. To Anna and Simeon, whose days are lived in faithful expectation, he comes. A new life to the old, a living prophecy of hope. Loving God, we pray for the church in all the world. Unite us by your Spirit and make us faithful witnesses to the hope we have in you. Lord, come to your people. Mercy, set us free. Prayed for, Christ comes. To men and women, girls and boys, crying out in darkness, pain and loneliness, he comes. Baptized, at one with us, our Saviour, healer and friend. Loving God, we pray for those whose lives are hard and painful, or whose existence is sorrowful, bitter or empty, remembering the hundreds of people in Australia having to flee the many fires, many of whom have lost their homes and land, many have already died, and lots of the animals too. We also remember those in our congregation struggling with ill health and uncertainty, and ask for your healing upon them. In their need, may they know your healing touch, reaching out to comfort, strengthen, and restore. Lord, come to your people.
In your mercy, set us free.
Unlooked for and searched for, longed for and prayed for, loving God, you come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. We thank you for all who have reflected the light of Christ. Help us to follow their example and bring us with them to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And can we all join together saying the Lord's Prayer? We say together the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom,
the power, and the glory are yours,
now and forever. Amen.
Heavenly God, this is a time of giving, and we are asked to give and give and give again. We bring our gifts, our small gifts, to be used in your service. But above that, we bring ourselves. Pray that you will enable us by your grace and the strength of your Holy Spirit to learn how to give more of ourselves to you and to one another. Bless us and bless the gifts we bring and all those we love. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So as our communion hymn, we'll sing number 34, O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. We sing hymn number 598 in the hymn book, Shout for Joy, The Lord Has Let Us Feast. By his incarnation, gathered into one things earthly and heavenly, fill our lives with his light and joy and peace, and the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and those you love, be they near or far, now and always. Amen. We go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.